Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star. And speaking of the Colorado Rockies, Bruce, and former Expo and former St. Louis Cardinal, Canada's very own Larry Walker. This has to be a very nervous day for Walker and his many friends and family.
You know, it's funny, Dave. I understood why Fred McGriff kind of missed the boat on the Hall of Fame, because he was a 35 home run hitter right before everyone was hitting 50.
Yeah.
And so his historical numbers didn't match up with the generation that came after. Larry Walker's almost the opposite problem, in that his numbers are historically awesome. You can look at them any way you want. You can look at them away from Coors Field and see that this guy was an elite hitter and also, by the way, a really good fielder. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but because of Coors Field, because of the way baseball's voting works, this is his last chance, and it sounds like he's right on the edge. It sounds like, from the kind of informal balloting survey that people are doing, I saw one number that said he was at 74.5, and you need 75.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Walker deserves to be in, and I would expect that if he doesn't get in on this try, eventually he'll be a veterans enshrinee and all of that. But it's, of all the ways that the Baseball Hall of Fame voting is broken, and I think we've kind of accepted that baseball kind of broke itself, and the Hall of Fame voting has been broken afterwards in terms of the logjam of steroid guys who still aren't in. But Larry Walker is a guy who has never been, there's no whiff of performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a problem of that type for the Hall. He's a problem of people just not appreciating that it wasn't just a thin air. Larry Walker was a Hall of Fame hitter and deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
And is it fair to say playing in Montreal probably didn't help? I mean, we, you know, just hold him in the highest regard, and he's among a group of much-loved Expos, but, you know, let's be honest, you're playing north of the border.
I wonder if it's that. I do think that there is an appreciation, at least a nostalgia in baseball for some of those guys, but look at how long it took Tim Raines to get in, right?
Sure.
Look at how, I mean, there's not a ton of kind of Hall of Fame credit given necessarily to Montreal Expos. But that being said, I mean, Vladimir Guerrero, he was appreciated no matter where he played, right? Like,
right.
I think the numbers travel anywhere except for Coors Field, because it was so extreme in those early years, because everybody was hitting crazy numbers. But the funny thing is, again, if you look at Larry Walker just away from Coors Field, he's still elite. He's still right there.
What would you do, Bruce, and we don't have enough time to deal with this question fully, but how would you revamp the Baseball Hall of Fame voting? Because, as you say, it is flawed, it has been flawed for so long, but that doesn't mean it can't be corrected.
That's a really good question. I think part of it is you have to revamp the Hall of Fame itself. The problem of steroids and performance-enhancing drugs is a huge one.
Yeah.
Again, I think we've talked about this, but I am of the opinion that you should be able to walk into Hockey Hall of Fame, into Cooperstown, into Canton, into Springfield, and you should be able to come out with an understanding of the history of the game. And they don't have that right now in baseball, because there's no Barry Bonds, there's no Roger Clemens. How can you rate the history of baseball without those two guys minimum?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to resolve the steroid issue by saying, look, we're going to put an exhibit in the Hall of Fame detailing the steroid era. And their names will be attached to it, but you still put Barry Bonds in there, right? You can still put, as part of his plaque, you can say, was caught up in the performance-enhancing drug scandal of the 1990s and early 2000s. But you got to get these guys in. So, and then the next step is voters. There's probably ways to cull some of the voters, because you get lifetime voting membership.
Yeah.
Then some guys don't cover baseball anymore. Some guys have been on there a little too long, probably. I think it's a more active role in terms of who's voting would help.
Right.
But to me, the biggest problem is just the performance-enhancing drug era, for whom not just the players were responsible, deformed the game. And the result of that is now that in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you have a logjam of players who probably should have gotten in, and every year they don't get in, it gets a little more complicated to put players in the Hall of Fame.
Bruce Arthur joining us here on TSN 1260 from the Toronto Star. The Kansas City Chiefs' best player is Patrick Mahomes. And he was their best player to get them to the Super Bowl. On the other side, the San Francisco 49ers are headed to the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo was not necessarily their best player, but still obviously instrumental to what they did to get to the postseason. It's kind of a curious way that they've arrived, and yet it feels like the right two teams are in the biggest game.
It really does. I think the only other team you'd want in there probably would have been Baltimore. I thought New Orleans was better than they were, and they proved me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at San Francisco, they're such a fascinating team, because the running attack that Kyle Shanahan's designed is beautiful and terrifying. Like, but they tear teams apart. you can't get to the Super Bowl with your quarterback throwing eight times. The Denver Broncos didn't get to the Super Bowl with a rubber-armed Peyton Manning in the last year of his career throwing eight times. He still had to throw the ball. The 49ers didn't have to throw the ball. I believe it's 27 pass attempts in two games for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
It's amazing that they can ask this little of their quarterback. I mean, the other thing is Minnesota had seven first downs, right? Like, the defense is elite. Now, if you're Kansas City, what the fascinating thing about this matchup for me is Patrick Mahomes is so dangerous, and Andy Reid is such a great play caller that I fully expect Kansas City's going to score points. At what point in the game can Kansas City make Jimmy Garoppolo beat them? And that is going to be a fascinating thing. Can they score enough to force Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball a bunch of times? Then we find out how good he really is. He had moments this year. The New Orleans game is probably the best of them, where he throws for four touchdowns. But in terms of whether they can make him be a great quarterback, that to me is the big question of this game. And a lot of that's going to have to do with the game along the lines. You and I know that football is decided along the lines. If they can get to Jimmy, and if they can shut down the running attack to a degree and force him to throw, then I think we could get a classic Super Bowl.
Andy Reid's place among NFL coaching greats is assured, but he still needs to hoist the trophy, doesn't he, to really lock it down in terms of the public's acceptance or perception of him as a great coach.
Well, the last team that I was actually a fan of before I relinquished all team fandom was the Philadelphia Eagles, and those teams were the perfect Andy Reid teams. They were good but not great every year. He has more wins than any other coach in history who has never won a Super Bowl. Those Philadelphia teams, he lost three conference championships before winning one and then messed up the clock management in the Super Bowl. And Kansas City, again, he gives himself chances. They probably should have been in the Super Bowl last year, and he got out-coached by Bill Belichick. There's no shame in that. If he gets a Super Bowl, then it's complete. Then you can't really argue with Andy Reid that he gets teams in the playoffs almost every year. He's been doing it for over 20 years. His coaching tree is among the best in football. He's one of the most creative play callers in football. He's added a ton to the innovation in the game. You add a Super Bowl to that, and he is a slam dunk all-time coach. And if he doesn't, like it or not, the asterisk will follow him around. And with Patrick Mahomes, he's probably going to get more than one chance. But this is going to be a hell of a matchup with a Kyle Shanahan team that is really, offensively, as interesting and creative as Kansas City is in their own way.
All-star break in the NHL gives us a breather and a chance to sort of assess where the game is right now and this season specifically. We've seen a lot of coaching changes, and some for performance reasons and some for not. And then there's the Gerard Gallant one, which I still think have a lot of people puzzled as to what do you have to do to get an encore in this day and age in the NHL, and certainly in Las Vegas, which is all of like 2.5 years old.
Every NHL head coach should have a clause in their contract saying, I get to pick the goalie. Because then, you know what? Then there's no excuses. Because what's the problem with Las Vegas? It's not that they have a lousy 5-on-5 team. They're an exceptional 5-on-5 team. Mm-hmm. You can say that their special teams could be better. The biggest thing that's sinking them is goaltending. If they're not getting elite goaltending from Marc-Andre Fleury or from anybody else. And that's often what kills coaches as much as anything. The same thing happened in San Jose, and the guy who's taking over in Vegas was a guy whose goaltenders weren't any good in San Jose. Gerard Gallant did a really nice job there, and you have to think there might be something else under the surface bubbling around there, that there might have been some kind of incongruity between management and the coach. But I don't think you can argue with the coaching job he did, unless you think he's also the goalie coach. I mean, yeah. What? I can't remember who said it. They call it hockey. They should really call it goalie.
Here in Edmonton, Bruce, and I guess to maybe a similar degree in Calgary, a lot of people have circled the 29th of January because it is the rematch between the Flames and the Oilers. And, of course, we know, and people have long memories, what happened with Zach Cassian and Matthew Tkachuk in the last time that these two teams met. Of course, the break gives us way too much time to talk about, analyze, reanalyze, and overhype what's going to happen. But as I've told listeners, and I'm sure you've done the same with people in your world, is we don't do the orchestrated fight in the NHL anymore. They move quickly to squelch that.
Well, this feels like a throwback, right? This
yes.
feels nostalgic, where you'd have the big build-up to the game. And if you remember, most of the big build-up games wound up being not much, right? Because the NHL sends messages to both teams before the game. Guys, we're going to be watching you. There's going to be suspensions, all this stuff. This is going to be a really interesting one, partly because there have been, I mean, Zach Kassian basically said, well, now I know what I can do. And the thing is, you talk to people in player safety, they consider those hits that Matthew Tkachuk threw perfectly legal. So can the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames have a revenge game with perfectly legal hits? That's what we're going to look at. But I think it's, I'm not going to say it's good because I didn't like some of Zach Kassian's language. I thought those hits are still a little dangerous. I don't think they're the best hits to have in the game in terms of the angle that you hit guys at and the blindside aspect of it. But it does, the Battle of Alberta is something that is a fun thing. And to have a player like Matthew Tkachuk and a player like Zach Kassian, who are unafraid to talk in the media, who are unafraid to be big personalities, that's fun for hockey. Yep. That is a fun thing. And I think I'll say this. There's not a lot of fighting left in the game. There's not a lot of bloodbath left in the game. People are going to watch this game because this is going to remind us of what hockey used to be.